Hey, my name is Nirvana Nokwe, and this is Cosmic Bay Trilogy Decoded. So, the first song I'm going to start with is True Love. So, True Love is a song that I wrote and produced last year. The chorus was written and sung by my mother, and I and the backings were done by my niece. My niece and I, sometimes she'd be with me as I'm producing. I'm trying my best to empower her at a young age. She's like 12 as of yesterday. So she's an incredible musician and vocalist, and I just wanted her to learn. So anyway, moving forward, the drums were inspired by Shaka Zulu. It's just so funny to me that my mother, Mamtu Nokwe, was in Shaka Zulu, and she was Shaka's wife. And the director, I studied film because I just had this very powerful need to be a director and to show people the images that I see, the way I see life in my head. Because, yeah, the things that happen in my head are like super cosmic and powerful and magical, and they just drift into dimensions and dimensions and dimensions of understanding that I don't think is normal, which is completely okay, but that stuff that's going on in my head and in my heart needs to be displayed somewhere, you know? So the funny thing, so my point was that the funny thing is my mom in her 20s was in Shaka Zulu as Pampata, who was Shaka's wife. And the director of Shaka Zulu, William C. Fora, was born on the 17th of July. And he passed away, I think, how many years before I was born? I think he passed away, he passed away 2 years before I was born, which is interesting to me. That's what I find interesting. And if you believe in reincarnation, you can totally see the signs. Like, I'm not even gonna tell you who I am. Okay. So at the time of True Love, it was April. I just met this guy. Super, super incredible, you know. We got along, like, we really got, like, we were almost the same person. You're gonna hear this narrative a lot. It's funny. We're almost the same person in terms of, like, how we approached life and the fun that we wanted to have in life, and the respect that we had for our Zulu customs and things like that. And he taught me a lot, you know, in a lot of aspects. And I remember that, like, due to some circumstances, we couldn't be together. And I remember him saying that, we could be together, but not now, maybe in another lifetime. Oh, I've been through it. But yeah, he said something along those lines, like, it can't happen now, maybe in the future, maybe in another lifetime, maybe, you know. And I just want to spend this time with you. Ooh, sounds like a fuckboy. I just want to spend this time with you so that I know that this was real. Goodness. And then Umam Faith Kekana, who's an incredible vocalist, and she for many years has been a backing vocalist for Umamle Dambuli and Bab Kefa Semenya. They would come to my aunt Marilyn Norquay's home to rehearse because she owns a rehearsal space and a catering business called Lynn's Pot. And I would always hear Mom Faith's voice, and I would just really, I really loved the texture of her voice. Like, yeah, 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 yeah. It was just full. It was really, really full. And when I did the song, that, yeah, 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 I wanted Mom Faith Kekana to do that. But in my head, like, I was just thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have the budget for this. I don't have the budget for it. When am I going to call her? I'm in a home studio. I don't want to disrespect, because I know she's been like in really like big studios, you know, where there's conditioning on the freaking walls and things like that, and super high tech. So I didn't want to disrespect her with this young girl coming. You know, she's making her dreams come true, and she's coming to me asking to thingy. So I was just like, let me at least lace this, and God willing, like if I happen to get the right team or the funding for this project, then I'll bring her on. And then I did it, and I was like, I actually don't need to. This is perfect. So the lyrics of the song go, "For true love, you must wait. For true love waits for you." And then at the end, that lasha nilanga, lasha nilanga, kwa pelis milo, zaves wimfilo. Yeah, so that basically means the sun has set, the sun has set. Dignity is just gone. Like, it's tonzi is, yeah, dignity is gone, and the secrets have been revealed, and now the world knows. So I think you can tell that this relationship I had with this person was not meant to happen at all. But it happened, and it was happening, and it was very taboo, very on the, like, down low, under the surface, hidden from the world. And I could feel my ancestors just being like, girl, what you doing? Get yourself out of this. This is a dumb idea. Go away. And my grandmother had just passed away. My grandmother had just passed away, and Ukobelo Asekaya, Ukokungunzi, was visiting home because we had to, you know, do what we had to do as Zulu people, as our culture. And she stayed for a couple weeks. And often I would feel my grandmother's presence, and often I would feel my grandfather's presence. And I would speak to Koko and be like, Koko, I really love him. And by Koko, I mean Koko, the Kobela who was physically with me, who was like the portal between us and our ancestors, if you get what I mean. And I was like, Koko ngiyamthanda, mkhulu ngiyamthanda, Koko ngiyamthanda, mkhulu ngiyamthanda. And the whole thing about the sun setting, I got from the I Ching. So every time I was with this guy, I would bring this book, this very tiny book, beautiful. It's like an ancient Chinese oracle with guidance on life's turning points. And I remember opening it one day, and it said to me, the influence is like the sun. As the sun must rise, so it must set. And I told him that as the sun must rise with us, and it's risen and it's out there, we both know that it's gonna set, And there were moments where I felt like the sun would not set. And in those moments were the moments where he would be like, yo, the sun's setting. And when it finally set, like, it set for real. Like, everything in me died. Like, every feeling, that magic just... And it took a while, you know. First it set with the fact that we weren't seeing each other. And then when I saw him again, like, those feelings were dead. Like, they were gone. So that's the backstory on true love. And it was heavily inspired by Shaka Zulu, my mother, my Zulu culture, the drums. Yeah. Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. This is Cosmic Bay Trilogy Decoded. Go listen to it. I love you. Hey, my name is Nirvana Nokwe, and this is Cosmic Bay Trilogy Decoded. So, the second song, the second part of this trilogy series that I'm going to be speaking about is Tantric Sex. And, so funny. So tantric sex, what is that? You know, a lot of people are like, what is that? Some creeps on my Instagram and on my WhatsApp, I'm not gonna name drop, are like, oh, I want you to teach me, you know, in person what this tantric sex is. I'm just like, ew, get away from me. No. get away. Oh my goodness, oh my god, like, the things that women have to deal with, oh my gosh. Like, can the roles switch for a day? Is that okay? Can we just switch roles? Is that okay? So that men can finally understand how it is to be a woman. And then after that, we will switch back and then the world will be normal again. Anyway, so tantric sex, why did I write this song, number one? So again, I told you that there is a recurring narrative about similarities between me and some form of male counterpart or some form of male in my life or out of my life that truly inspired me. And one of them, so in the previous Cosmic Bay Trilogy Decoded, it was William C. Fora, who was born on the 17th of July. And now with Tantric Sex, the funny thing is that, it was in the previous one, it was William C. Fora and this other dude that I'm not going to mention. And now with Tantric Sex, it's someone that I met last year who was also born on my birthday. And it's just like, whoa, this is crazy. Whoa, this is so crazy. What's going on, universe? Anyway, so it's so funny. If I were to actually unfold all of the parallels and all of the synchronicities, you guys would freak out and be excited with me. But I'm not gonna, like, spill all the beans, you know? So, I'm spilling enough already. Like, this is juice, okay? You cannot deny this is juice. So I met this guy, you know, as I always meet guys. I met this guy and, you know, like, he and I just really hit it off. Like, again, it felt like I was dealing with myself, except the aspect of myself that I was dealing with was my intimacy part. Like, it's funny because in that month, I think it was in October, in that month, Amber Khan, who's this super cool tarot card reader, was like, this month, you get to see how you affect people. Now you get to really experience yourself the way the world experiences you. And I was like, whoa. And when it happened, I was just like, this is a lot. This is a lot, because this is someone who is like we're in, like, he literally was born on my birthday. And in terms of intimacy and sensuality and things like that, everything just flowed, you know? So I began to wonder after the whole thing ended. I was just like, whoa, this is how I am? I'm really intense. Like, I'm super intense. This is so funny. So I'm just so excited. Okay, cool. So the day I met him, you know, it was really cool and we hit it off, and we started like engaging sexually, and it was so interesting. You know, I had the most powerful sexual experience of my life. And he mentioned something. He said, "This is like tantric sex." And I was like, "Tantrum sex?" And he's like, "Yeah." No. He said, "No, tantric sex." I was like, "Oh, tantric? What's that?" And then he says, "Oh, it's like this form of, you know, it's like a tantric yoga, tantra, stuff like that." And I researched it and I was just like, I'm gonna do this on my own if I have to. So yeah, it's so interesting how incredibly, like, in terms of admiration, I would say we shared the equivalent amount of admiration for each other. And I think the magic and the synchronicity of us being born on the same day was just sprinkles on the magic. And I think it just enhanced how much I was able to honor the God in him and he honor the goddess in me, which is a large part of tantric sex. You know, it's really that mind-body connection and honoring the person, like to honor the person that's in front of you. And wow, it's just really like beautiful. It is just such a beautiful experience. I felt it even days after having seen him, and it was like a drug. Now, the song, "I've been loving like I do drugs, I've been loving like I do dra, ooh, like I do dra, ooh." You get it now? Yeah, I've never tried drugs, so no, but if there were an equivalent, I'd be like, that's the shindigs, you know? So the song was inspired by that encounter. And also, the more I matured, I began to realize that I actually was loving like I do drugs. Like not just outside of the experience of tantric sex, romantic interactions, just interactions in general, were becoming very toxic, and they were becoming something not grounded in truth or love, like true love or care. They were grounded in quick fixes, you know? They were grounded in objectification. They were grounded in lies and also sedating. They were grounded in sedating our pains. So as I'm speaking right now, I realize that the three people that I had encountered in the previous year were deeply traumatized in some way, and because of that, I think we were mirrors of each other, but at the same time sedating each other in some very like out of this world way. Like, it should have been pure, but it wasn't, because it was just us just plunking stuff on a wound that needs to be cleaned, you know? And yeah. Shout out to those other niggas, you know? And it's a trilogy. The Cosmic Bay trilogy is a trilogy because there were three main romantic encounters I had last year. And it's funny because some of them were like overlapping, you know? Yeah, it was a wild year. I was dealing with a lot. I think the previous relationship, like prior to last year, I don't know if a lot of you know, but I had undergone some abuse, some sexual assault from someone that I truly cared about so much. And if a lot of you know, like the justice system and society in general in South Africa, how we deal with rape is super toxic. Like when we went in for the mediation meeting, it was just a case of his stepfather saying, you know, you need to be more assertive, as though no is not assertive enough. Or he would be saying things, oh, he didn't drag you from the street to rape you, things like that, you know. And I just, it was just a lot, you know, to carry the responsibility of having to put someone behind bars because they had violated me, the responsibility of self-respect, the responsibility to make sure that justice is served, and to use my voice, and the power to report, the power to, you know, do all those things that I have to the greatest good, and so that also this person can learn their lesson that you don't do that to people, you know. But it was terrible. Like I still have some recordings of the mediation meeting and all of the other encounters I had with the other party and the other party's family, and it was just really like super bad, you know, like toxic, like you would want to kill yourself toxic afterwards. And although I'm sorry was said, you know, I apologize for doing this to you, I didn't mean blah, 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 blah. Whatever, like you shouldn't have done it anyway, like go away. Anyway, but yeah, besides the lightness of it, I mean, I'm able to speak about it now so lightly because, yo, like this too shall, like everything passes, and God gave me a strength that I will forever have, and I'm super grateful for that strength. And I'm surrounded by women who are strong, you know, strong in making themselves better, strong in healing themselves, strong in their resilience, strong. So last year was just the year of healing and trying to seriously and quickly as possible get over, you know, the trauma, the hurts. And When I tell you, I don't regret a thing. I really mean it. I really mean it. Like, I mean it. I mean it. I don't regret a thing. And the reason I don't regret a thing is because I began to, through that whole, like, the whole romantic saga that I went through, the whole trilogy that I went to, through last year, because it was basically a movie, you know, it was a movie, and that movie ended almost very tragically. I don't know if that movie is going to continue. I doubt it, because I want nothing to do with most of the people that I was dealing with last year. I want peace with them, you know, but it's just a case of like, and I'm sure they feel the same about me. So it's just, it's sad how things ended, but they had to end somehow, as things always have to end. You know, sometimes the sun setting isn't that fun. You know, maybe you're playing in the jumping castle and now you have to put the jumping castle away because it's getting dark and it's just the reality of life, you know? So put the jumping castle away, go indoors, take a shower, eat your dinner and sleep, you know? But yeah, tantric sex is about truly, truly, I just wanted to make, firstly, I wanted to express my experience because it was very powerful, and I'm forever grateful for that encounter, you know. God, the universe just really has my back. So, firstly, the song was made to express this very powerful thing that I was experiencing at the time, and also the reclaiming of my sexuality, but also to bring awareness to everyone that, yo, like, the sex we've been having is toxic. And the reason I say it's toxic is because it's very objectifying. We have managed to conform to the script that we've seen, you know, the previous, prior to this sexual encounter that I had that inspired the song, the sexual experiences were operating off of this very false script, you know. It was so false, and bodies were being used, you know. And most times we try to perform our egos during sex. It's just like, oh, let me show you how great I am, and bam, 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 boom, 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 pop, 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 you know, chow, pop you, pop, you know, pop whoever, you know, pop the most. Shout out to Cardi B, I love her, but it's not real, you know. And I think a lot of the dissatisfaction, like a former friend of mine was telling me that only 20% of the South African population orgasms, and I was just like, whoa, I was mind blown. I was just like, whoa, this is really bad. And but our sexual experiences, like how we respond to each other as people of different sexes, just people of attraction, you know, how we respond to each other really speaks to systemic abuse. It truly does, and it reflects in our sexuality, like the amount of things that we feel like we have to conform to due to this systemic abuse reflects in the dissatisfaction of our sexuality. And I think that's why people are hypersexual, and even in their hypersexuality, it's not even that satisfying. Like, it's not even like there, you know. It's just, I want to get this out, or you know, I just want that. It's very surface level, and I wanted people to be interested in what tantric sex is, because wow, I really just want people to have beautiful encounters, especially with something as precious as sharing your body in that way. You know, you're exchanging it energy at base level, and that exchange is powerful. Like, you're exchanging parts of you that you yourself don't even have conscious access to during the day, like on a regular day when you're not doing anything. So I think it was very important, especially for men, you know, to know about tantric sex. So that's the backstory on tantric sex. I hope you enjoyed it. I love you. Hey, my name is Nirvana Nokwe, and this is Cosmic Bay Trilogy Decoded. So, Red Moon. It's so funny because so many people are like, oh, trust Nirvana to have a name like Red Moon. Well, the title of the song is largely inspired by the blood moon eclipse that we had last year. And when did I go to Turkey? I think I was on a flight that day to Turkey for an arts and culture festival in Büyükşehir, and I was just like, I was heartbroken. So here's the funny thing. Okay, the song had nothing to do with the person that had hurt me at the time. But they were inspiration enough for me to deal with some of my wounds through song. So Red Moon, like the blood moon, happens I think once every I don't know how many years, but it's super special because the sun and the moon are directly, like, they're directly in front of each other, like they're facing each other. It's called an eclipse, but a blood moon eclipse, you know, and they're facing each other in perfect harmony, in perfect synchronicity, in perfect alignment, everything that you can say. And the moon, this lunar eclipse, looks red, like the moon looks red. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, I was channeling the moon's energy, I could feel it like in the flight, but I couldn't see it because I wasn't on the flight to Turkey, but I saw pictures and I was just like, oh my goodness. I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Like, wow. I don't even feel like I've missed a thing, but, you know, would have been nice to see it live, but wow, you know. And the eclipse got me thinking about the polarities of masculine and feminine, the moon and the sun, things like that, negative and positive, yin and yang. And then on the flight, I just felt, because I'm a Cancerian and my ruler is the moon, like that's my star signs planet, the moon. When the moon is in Cancer or Pisces, the moon is at home. No. When the moon is in Cancer, the moon is at home. I believe that Neptune is the ruling planet of Pisces. So yes, y'all don't get to claim the moon like I can. I'm just being funny. And I was just like, I see red in the darkest night, as in the blood moon. The only love that you will find. And I was just like, whoa, this is trippy. Okay, no, continue. And the song that was playing in my head before that was that Turn Your Face Towards the Sun by Rihanna, from that movie that she did, that animation movie that she did some years back. You know, turn your face towards the sun, let the shadows fall behind you. You know, and I knew that Coldplay-inspired sound, I wanted to be a part of Red Moon, you know? But also at the same time, I wanted it to be very rooted in astrology and in my Zulu culture, you know? So, I'm busy writing there. Only love that you will find, I see red in the darkest night, the only time we'll leave behind, the only time we leave behind. La shoni langa, la penga na ne nyanga. So you thought that, in direct translation, you thought that the sun would set. The sun set and then it faced the moon. You thought that the sun would set. Oh, you thought that you would set. Wait. Yeah, you thought the sun would set. Then you set with the sun and you faced the moon. Boom. So, as I mentioned earlier, that the moon is me. I am the moon. The moon is the mother. The moon is feminine. And the sun is masculine. That's the parallel I made. And I was basically telling the person I was speaking about in true love, I was telling them directly that you thought that the sun set. You thought it was over. And then you met with me in the cosmos. And I think that if you're dealing with something as magnetic and as mystical as the ocean and the moon, and the love is as intense and so integrated into these elements, these planets, these stars that shine on us like every day, I truly felt that the love I was experiencing, the connection that this person and I had, was that magnetic. It was as magnetic as the moon and the sun. Then there is no true end, you know? I think just like death is not the end. It is a transmutation of energy. Things don't end, they transmute. And I just felt it in my spirit, you know? I felt it spiritually that, you know, the end had not happened, but it was a transmutation of energy. And although I won't be relating to him in one form, I would be relating to that energy that I learned or received from that person in another way. And very true, yes, it happened, you know. You spend 15 years with your best friend, and there's things that you love about them, and then they disappear, and then you still have those things that you loved about them, you know? If you believe in soul contracts, usually I heard from Amber Khan, the people who love you the most are assigned, the souls that you make the toughest contracts with are assigned the toughest jobs of breaking your heart so that you can learn how to let go. And I believe that. Or at least for now, you know, until I find a more evolved understanding of connections. But yeah. So where do you think you're running off to when I get all my luminance from you? I see through your fiery blood tomb, pulling, I see all that makes all of you. And I was basically saying that, like, yeah, you're running, like, you're saying this is over. But, like, this energy that I'm getting it from you, and the reason we're like this together is because we inspire each other to be like this together, you know? And although it sounds a bit toxic, to a degree it is, but when you can find things that can inspire you to be your best self, and then in that relationship learn to be independent in your best self, it's incredible, you know? And then I see through your fiery batum, I see right through you, you know? Very fiery spirit, very fiery spirit. Also extremely petty. Pulling, I see all that makes all of you. So the moon pulls, right? The moon is magnetic. And because the moon is so magnetic, and the moon is the revelation of all secrets, the moon is prophetic dreams. The moon sees you. Pulling me, the moon, I see all that makes all of you, you know? And then back to the chorus. And then the easy dozy yenzeka, easy dozy yenzeka part. Ugh. I was basically saying that things happen, bro. Like, life happens. And even though those words are super simple, I was saying a mouthful. I was saying so much. And I think the things that I was saying can only be translated in visuals, or at least an artistic rendition of what was happening. But things do happen and you just have to let them happen. I guess you just have to accept. And then ubuthi yoshonilanga. Lashonilanga lapegana ninyanga. And then at the end you hear Yamtanda, Yamtanda. Yeah. So that's the decode. It's just basically exploring love and astrology. And I really want people to start investing more in understanding how much the cosmos affect us. And I'm not speaking about like this commercialized bubblegum horoscope thing that you receive every day. Although I give credit to those people. You know, they're hardworking people, but there's so much more. There is so much more. There's a science to it. And if people can begin to understand the science as much as they invest their time in understanding economics, I think you would begin to see that most of life you really have no control over. And the control that you have is your perspective, and you can begin to work with everything because the universe is conspiring. Like, the universe is working for you, and in a very real sense. And understanding astrology and getting deep into that makes you understand the science behind that. Yes. Okay, I love you. I hope you enjoyed the series, and I'll see you soon.